Good morning, Mets fans, and happy Monday. What the hell is happening in Flushing? Off to a horrible start. The Mets recently have taken 2 out of 3 from the Braves, and then 2 out of 3 from the Royals. JD Martinez, do we need him? Maybe not, but we definitely want him. He'll be a nice addition when he comes up to join the club and provide some extra, you know, beef for the lineup, you know, help out Pete Alonso a little bit. No, it should be good when he comes up. What else? Next coming up, 3-game series against the Pirates. So hopefully the Mets can continue the trend, maybe even sweep the Pirates. I know this is amazing misery, tales of a miserable Mets fan, but I'm going to say it right now. Mets are going to win the World Series this year. All right, a little too early to tell. We'll put a pin in that for now. Lindor still having his troubles, but he definitely has the fan support, which is nice to see. Although I often wonder if he hears the cheers and he's like, "All right, already, everyone, just sit down. I know I'm sucking right now. I understand. You know, you don't have to give me condescending claps." You don't have to give me condescending claps, which I don't think that's what they are. I mean, they're genuinely trying to help this guy with encouragement. But yeah, it doesn't look like it's working. But he will snap out of his slump. As everyone knows, he starts off slow, so he will snap out of his slump. The good news is, as a team, he's not as heavily relied on because the rest of the team is actually playing well. I read an article that in May 26th around, Kodai Senga, that's the, you know, he could possibly come up and join the club. He started throwing a little bit, so that's good. gonna take a trip down memory lane with me as a Mets fan. Back in around 88, 90, I don't know, maybe 89, because I skipped that number. I was a junior Met. It was like my first or second year being a junior Met. The prior years, you would go to the ball club with a select number of people, and they would let the fans run the bases. Of course, when I became a junior Met, they stopped doing that. But I got to go in the stands. Got to you know, look at the players, a couple of the players on the field who were teaching us about baseball, and it was really cool. I don't know if I'm confusing the situation, but one of the years in the parking lot of then Shea Stadium, some of the players, coaches, go out to their cars, and I don't know if you're old enough to remember the player Mackie Sasser. He was a catcher for the Mets, and we went to get his autograph. Very nice guy, signed a bunch of autographs, and then he got in his car and he's like, I got an appointment to get to. And as he was starting to drive away, little bastard kids almost tried to get in front of his car so he couldn't drive away. One little kid said, "He didn't have an appointment." I don't know why I keep going Southern. Mackie had a Southern accent. The kid did not. The kid was probably from New York. I don't know. But that was a good experience back when I was a kid. A lot of fun. The old Shea Stadium. And that was back before, back before Mackie Sasser developed the case of the yips. Which, if you don't know, is a term when you have trouble throwing the ball. Chuck Knoblauch had trouble throwing the ball to first base when he was with the Yankees. Steve Sachs, same thing, throwing the ball first base. I believe John Lester, something with first base. Once they have time to think about it and throw the ball, that's when they get all yipped up. But with Mackie Sasser, the trouble was with throwing it back to the pitcher. No one understood it at the time. Still, it's, you know, not understood. It's just a mental thing. He had no problems when a runner was stealing and throwing it to second base. that's an issue. You just don't think, you just throw. But throwing it back to the pitcher, he used to have to pump the ball into his glove 5 or 6 times. And it was sad to watch. I watched it at a game in person once, and New Yorkers, or just New York Mets fans in general, really got on them. And as you get older, you just learn about more about psychology, and then you hear documentaries, and you know, it's really, really sad. Especially, you know, he was a good solid catcher. Not a Hall of Fame catcher, but he was a solid catcher. That was my experience with the junior Mets, seeing Mackie Sasser in person. That was a lot of fun. A lot of fun times being a Met fan. And I had a lot of times where I wanted to just put my head in a pillow and cry myself to sleep. But anyway, let's talk about the present. Mets won 2 out of 3 against the Braves, 2 out of 3 against the Royals. Hopefully they can win 2 out of 3 against the Pirates. Let's see, Lindor will get on track. Sean Manaea didn't pitch as well as he's been pitching, but I think he'll be okay. I think he'll be fine. Jose Buto was outstanding. When Senga comes back, it may be a question of, you know, having too many good arms, too many starters, which, you know, you can never have enough. And they can go with maybe a 6-man rotation. But I mean, Buto was really good. I think Sean Manaea will be okay. Severino was good when he pitched. Hopefully it'll be a fun time. And at the end of this season, when I say, hey, the Mets won the World Series, you guys can leave comments in whatever platform that you're listening to this podcast, all three of you, and say, Glenn, you're no longer a miserable Mets fan. What happened? And I will be an optimistic Mets fan for this year, possibly, but still in the back of my mind, remember all those miserable times, you know, and think of all the silly things and connotations that come along with being a Mets fan. Think about situations like, oh, I don't know, Bobby Bonilla, and how the Mets are paying him until 2035. Every July, Bobby Bonilla Day, July 1st. That's crazy. In Moneyball, they talked about Bill James and all these intellectual guys. Well, I say Bobby Bonilla is the smartest man in baseball. He also has a contract, I think, with the Orioles, and he'll get paid until 2027 or something. That's insane to me. I remember seeing him play live. Actually, one of the times he hit a home run. Maybe he never lived up to his potential as a Met compared to when he was a Pirate. But and he's the one that's laughing at the Wilpons. The Wilpons are another story. I remember when they got ripped off by Bernie Madoff. Madoff with their money. Oh God, I can't remember what year it is. As you get older, your mind starts to deteriorate. I can't remember what year it was. But one year, the Mets were trying to get fans to buy into partial ownership to try to recoup, I guess, some of the money that they lost. And by doing that, they were going to offer you a business card with their name on it, maybe a parking space. I mean, it was weird. So, I mean, but these are all the things that contribute to being a miserable Mets fan. The 90s, all the 90s, till about 99, 2000. They're doing well. Of course, they lost to the Yankees, but we don't have to talk much about that. That was salt in the wounds right there. I mean, just in general, up until Johan Santana, all the great pitchers the Mets have had where they didn't throw a no-hitter with the Mets and then went on to other. I used to think they just had a rain cloud over their head. But, let's talk about the positives, right? We can talk about the positives, even though this is amazing misery, tales of a miserable Mets fan. Yesterday, Mets won. It didn't look like they were going to win to me. I mean, when you leave that players on base in scoring position, didn't look like they were going to win, but they won. On Dwight Gooden's day, Doc, as soon as he was giving a speech and he mentioned that he also, you know, when he also played for the Yankees, I was like, no, don't do it, Doc. And of course, typically, fans booed, not booing Doc, but booing the mere mention of the Yankees. Oh, it was nice. It was nice to see all the old teammates, Tim Tuffle, Mookie Wilson, Darryl Strawberry, which he'll get his number retired in June. Yeah, it was nice to see them all. Who else was out there? Roger McDowell, who was interviewed. You know, and then, of course, Keith and Ron. So it was nice to see them. It was nice to see Doc get the recognition years later that he deserved. He was a big, huge part of the team. And like I said in my last podcast, when he was on the side of a building, I've never seen anything like that. That was insane. But let's get back on track here. Mets against the Pirates. Hopefully they can continue their winning ways. Take 2 out of 3, maybe sweep them. I don't want to get too ahead of myself. As a Mets fan, you're conditioned to be grounded and not get too ahead of yourself. But you can make these crazy claims that the Mets are going to win the World Series. Because why not? When it comes to stuff like that, I don't believe in superstition. As a baseball fan, the only thing I believe in is that you cannot speak of a no-hitter while it's going on or a perfect game while it's going on. But other than that, you can pretty much say whatever you want. But it's Monday, April 15th, tax day. I don't know what that has to do with anything, although I'm waiting till the last minute to file my taxes. I tend to wait till the last minute. When I actually owe the IRS. So I'm going to file the taxes today. Hopefully the Mets can get a win. And let's keep up with this momentum. Because it's nice. After the decades and decades and decades of heartache. So anyway, Glenn Price, Amazing Misery, Tales of a Miserable Mets Fan. This podcast today was not that miserable. This podcast is brought to you by nobody. But you can also check out my website, glennpricecomedy.com. And I'll have more things in the hopper coming soon, and I'll let you all know. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. It's your East Coast. It's a beautiful day out. Let's go, Mets. Bye for now.